Gemara Yoma Daf Samech Het. Masechet dedicated anonymously. That's lahat couples trying to have children. She Hashem Yibarech Otam Bezerah Hayav Kayama. Amen. So we learned on yesterday's daf from the Mishnah that they took the pot and the sa'ir of Yom Kippur. These are both hata'ot, but they're unique in the sense that we do not eat from these hata'ot. That although they put some of it on the Mizbeah, they do take the remnants of the par and the sa'ir, and they braid it, we learned in the Mishnah, and they take it outside. That's the whole subject of today's Gemara, where do they actually take it? And once they take it outside, they burn it. It's hatat shenisrifet. So the question the Gemara will begin over here is, what is this braiding business? So Gemara says, Kela'an b'mikla'ot. It's a quote from the Mishnah. Amar b'yuhanan kimin kili'a. Like a braid. Not too understandable readily. What exactly the b'yuhanan said more than the Mishnah, unless you say that he had the girsa, which is quite possible, so it is Rabbi Yohanan, like the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi's girsa in the Mishnah did not have the word kili'ah. So therefore Rabbi Yohanan was explaining exactly how they took it out, something that the Mishnah did not say, although our Mishnah does say it. Basically, they took two sticks, we learned, and they braided it over the sticks, and four kohanim, two in the front and two in the back, would hold the sticks and carry it out. Gemara continues, Tana lo haya menatehan nituach besar ola ela al gabe basar. So that's a big kaddush. Normally, when they cut up the korban ola goes on the mizbeah, but they don't just throw the whole animal on the mizbeah. They cut it up into pieces. And before they cut it into pieces, the Torah says you have to make hefshit. Hefshit means you have to flay the animal or skin the animal. However, over here, when it comes to the par and the sa'ir of Yom Kippur, when they cut it up, they don't flay it. They don't skin it first, which is a chiddush. Look at the Rashi. Lo haya minatehan. It's three lines from the bottom.
Hasorfan kinituach besar ola shehu mufshat min haor kodem nituach kedichtiv vehefshit v'netach. Ela or al gabe basar ve'eno mafshitan.
Right. Or al gabe basar. Which is a big chedush. That's one of the unique types of cutting up an animal over its flesh, over its skin, actually. Minan nemile. So how do we know? This is the Tanya. Rabbi Omer ne'emar kan. It says by the Sirifa of the part in the side of Yom Kippurim, or ubasar uperish. If you look at the whole pasuk, it says v'sarefu ba'esh et orotam ve'et besaram ve'et pirsham. Or is the skin. Basar is the meat, and the perish is the innards, the waste part of it. V'ne'emar lehalan, that's by the part of the Kohen Mashiach. The Kohen Mashiach, if he makes a sin, so the law is, he has to bring a part designated for the Kohen. So it says also, or ubasar uperish. I'll read you the whole pasuk. Ve'et or hapar, ve'et kol besaro al rosho val kira ve'kirbo. Ooh, finish up. So the Gemara says, Ma lehalam, just like the part of the Kohen Mashiach, al yedeh nituach velo al yedeh hefshet. So it's done by cutting it up, but not through hefshet. There's no skinning. Afkan, al yedeh nituach velo al yedeh hefshet. Basically, it's a gezerah shavah. That we found another animal that has the same words, od and basar and perish. And we know over there, we have to see how we know over there, but we know over there by the par Mashiach, Kohen Mashiach, there is no skinning. So to over here by the par and Sa'id of Yom Kippur, there is no skinning. How do you know by the Kohen Mashiach that there's no skinning? The Gemara says, Detanya. It says by the par Kohen of Mashiach, V'kirbo ufirsho. Kirbo means the insides, the innards of the animal. Ufirsho, ufirsho is the waste. Vehotsi, and it says you take the whole animal outside of the machaneh. Melamed shemotzi'o shalem. And they don't cut it up before they take it out. The fact that it says with the kirbo, ufirsho, vehotsi'o, meaning you take it out as is, and you don't cut it up. I mean, you take it out in one taking, as opposed to taking it out in several takings. If you would cut it up, it would be several trips. Before you cut it up. And what does it say? Do you think they actually burn the animal whole as well? It says over here by the par kohen, rosho ukra'av, its head and its legs. By the korban ola, rosho ukra'ayim. Ma lehalan al yedini tuwat. Just like by korban ola, clearly it's cut up. Afkan al yedini tuwat. So we didn't learn anything yet. We're trying to learn how do you know you have to cut it with the skin on it. All we learned so far is that you have to bring it out shalem, but eventually you're going to have to cut it up into pieces before you burn it. And we know that from Korban Ola. All Ola teaches us is nitua. So it wasn't wait. If you're learning from Korban Ola, ima lehalan al yedeh hefshet, afkan al yedeh hefshet. Maybe you'll tell me that just like Korban Ola, you need to make hefshet first and then you cut it up. So maybe if you're learning it from there, so maybe the par kohen also needs to be played first and then cut up. Tamud omar v'kirbo ufirsho nu derash. It says in the pasuk kirbo pirsho. What's the derash? That somehow those words teach you. From here you learn you don't skin it because it says kirbo pirsho. So the Gemara asks, my Talmuda. Oh, that's the question. What's the limud of it? What kind of limud is this? The Gemara says, just like the perish is inside the animal, it's in the intestines, you don't take it out with a mikavod to cut it out and take it out. So therefore you leave the perish in its place. So too, you leave the basar in its place. And what's the place of the basar? The skin. So therefore, pirsho oro. Which means there's a kirbo pirsho. There's a keshe, the connection between the kerev, which is the meat, and the perish. Just like the perish remains inside, so too the basar remains inside. Oh, so the Gemara comes along. Let's just read Rashi over here for a second. Rashi says, V'ne'emal dehalan roshu v'kara'ayim. Look at Rashi, keshem shepirsho v'kirbo.
שנאמר ואת אור הפר ואת כל בשרו הקיש הוסעת אור ובשר להוסעת קרבו ופרשו מה פרשו וקרבו אף בשרו ואורו וכתיב והוסי ושרף מה הוסעתו בשרו ואורו אף שרפתו כן.
Beautiful. So therefore we learned that what? That's an exception. The par kohen is with the or on it, and we learn it is Rashava from the Kohen Mashiach to Par V'Seid of Yom Kippurim, that the same thing is done as well. Okay, now Rabbi, we move on to a new issue. The Torah says that when they take out the Par V'Seid outside the Mahaneh, we'll see exactly where they take it out. But when they take it out at a certain point, the Begadim of the motzi become tameh, and therefore he needs to make tevila on his begadim. She'ela is: at what point does the begadim of the motzi become tameim? Me'em matay metameim begadim. So we had a machloket in the Mishnah. One shita said watanakama once he leaves the azara, and the Bishamon said actually once he starts to put the parvesin on fire. So big machloket, big difference. So the Gemara comes along and says, Tanu Rabbanan, we have a braita. It says again by the par and the Sa'id of Yom Kippurim. I'm reading the whole pasuk. Ve'et par ha-chatat, ve'et Sa'id ha-chatat, yotzi el mechutz la-mahaneh, ve'sarfu. Oh, now Rabotai, we have to remember, when we say chutz la-mahaneh, there's three distinct machanot in Klal Yisrael. And each one has its own rules, has its own laws. The first one is called, again, I'm in the Mishkan now. The first one is called Mahaneh Shekhinah. That would be the area where the Ohel Moed is and the Mishkan itself and the Hatzer. Then you would have Mahaneh Leviyah. That's where the Kohanim and the Leviyim were camped. Then you have Mahaneh Yisrael. That would be the regular encampment of Bnei Yisrael. Now you have those similar comparisons in the Beit HaMikdash area. In the Beit HaMikdash, you have the Mahaneh Shekhinah, that would be the actual Beit HaMikdash itself, the Hechal, the Azarot, etc. And then you have Mahaneh Leviyah, which would be considered, let's say, the Har HaBayit, outside of the mountain. And then you would have Mahaneh Yisrael, which would include all of Yerushalayim. So therefore, you have different Mahanot, and there's laws who's able to be in which Mahaneh based on which Tumah the person has, etc. Comes the Gemara and says that you have to take out the Par B'Sa'ir on Yom Kippur Me'otz Mahaneh. Is it Mahaneh? Mahaneh Shekhinah, Mahaneh Leviyah, Mahaneh Yisrael, but you don't say anything. You have to figure this out from deduction. So the Gemara says, Yotzi el Me'otz Mahaneh B'Sarfu. Gemara says, Lehalan, later on when we talk about the Par He'alem Davar Shel Sibur, a different type of Par. That's the case where the Sanhedrin made a ruling, exactly, faulty ruling. The Sibur followed the ruling, and then they realized they were wrong. It's something that's punishable by Karet. And therefore, they have to bring a par alim davar shel Sibur. So what did it say like that par? Ata noten lahem shalosh mahanot. There, it's clear you have to take it out of three mahanot, meaning outside of Jerusalem, even outside of Mahaneh Yisrael, in order to burn it. Vekan ata noten lahem Mahaneh Achat. But over here it just says Yotzi el Mechutz LaMachaneh, which sounds like it should only be one Mahaneh. But the Gemara is saying it can't be. It's got to be three. So the Gemara says, Imken Lama Ne'emar Mechutz LaMachaneh. So why did it say? Now we didn't prove why it has to be three yet, but the Gemara is assuming it's three Mahanot. Because we know by Pari Alim Davar Shel Sibur, it's three. And over here it must be also three. So why are you telling me Mechutz LaMachaneh, which sounds like one? Tomar lecha, kevan shiyatsa utz l'machaneh achad, metame'im begadim. It's coming to tell you a separate law, not where you burn it. It's coming to tell you when tumat begadim kicks in. Once the one that's motzi, the par, leaves the azara, which is machaneh shekhinah, bink, already his begadim become tame'im, which is like the opinion of Tanakama of Amishnah. It's true. He doesn't burn it until he gets out of Yerushalayim. But Tum'at Begadim hits, the second it leaves, Adrash Ne'emar, Ve'hotzi Oto Mechutz, Yotzi El Mechutz Ha'machaneh. So the Gemara says, Ve'hata Minalan. How do you know that by the Par, Kohen Mashiach, the Par of the Vash of Sibur, that you have to burn it outside of three Mahanot? Again, the Pasuk over there doesn't say anything Beferush. Doesn't that say anywhere Beferush? We have to deduce it. So the Gemara says, Detanya. Here it is, Ve'hotzi Et Par. Gemara says, "Otzi et apar." Chutz l'shlosh machanot. By the way, the Gemara jumps. Otzi, the furthest place outside Yerushalayim. Ata omer chutz l'shlosh machanot, or eno ela chutz l'machaneh achat. Who told you three? Maybe it's only one. Maybe it's only the outside of the Azara, which is Machaneh Shekhinah. Kishu omer bepar ha'eda. By the par ha'eda, the davar shel sibur, the pasuk says like this: "Otzi et apar el mihutz l'machaneh." It also says it by the part and then the Vashi Sibu, not only the part of the Kohen, by the part of the Vashi Sibu, it says, Votzi Mechutz LaMachaneh. She'en Talmud Domar. Doesn't have to tell me. She'rekeban Ne'emar Vesaraf Oto Ka'ashet Saraf Etapar Harishon. Which means, exactly, which is the part Ha'eda is equal to the part of the Kohen Mashiach. So once it tells me it's the same process, I know where it is. Wherever the part of the Kohen is, that's the same place of the part of the Edah. So why did I have to say by the part of the Edah, who's the Mahaneh? Whatever place the other one was, it's this one. So it's adding a place. Ela wa matabu domar el mos l'machaneh, niten lo machaneh shiniya. It comes to add another Mahaneh. Oh, so now we know already two Mahanot. Shu'omed mos l'machaneh badeshen. Now, we know, remember we learned this early on the Masechet, that on the holidays, let's say there was a lot of ashes on the Mizbeah from the Korbanot. This is not talking about the regular mitzvah of daily Terumat Hadeshen. This was talking about the Terumat Hadeshen that was done periodically when the Mizbeah was filled with Hadeshen. They had to clean it. So they would take all the ashes off and they would take it outside of Yerushalayim to a certain place. It was called Shefech Hadeshen, the place where they poured the deshet. Now, what does it say? The pasuk says, "Mechutz l'machane b'deshet." When it comes to chutz l'deshet, it says, "Mechutz l'machane." She'en tamu domar. You don't have to tell me when you come to deshet and chutz l'machane. Why? Shnei kevan ne'emar. Because when it talks about these parim and the srafim, what does it say? El shefech deshet, in the place of the deshet. So obviously, it's talking about mechutz l'machane. So why does it have to say again in the place of the deshet? And then it says by the deshet also mechutz l'machane. Then no machane shlishi to give it a third. Wow! So it's unbelievable. How we're learning. It's not, nothing's beferush here. We're deducing it. It's a combo between par kohen mashiach, the par alim davar shel sibur, and shefek hadeshen. So between all of them, we don't need to write it because the Gemara says that you slaughter the par in the same place we do the par. So I know that already. Why does it say it again? And it says, oh, and then the place of the Shefek HaDeshen. So why by Shefek HaDeshen, they have to come and say Yotzi. Have to come to Mahane Shlishit. So basically we know from Par, the Hata'ot of the Par of the Kohen and the Par of the Eda, that it is three Machanot. Okay, that's exactly where you burn it. Now that's according to Tanakama. That's very good. So the question over here is, the question, and then what? And what does it then have to say by Par of Kippur and Sa'id of Kippur? I don't need it. I don't need it to tell me where it is because I know it from the other place. So what does Mechutz Machaneh teach me? When Tumat Begladim kicks in. Tumat Begladim kicks in after Machaneh Rishona, like Tanakama. Now the problem is the Bishimon. Because the Bishimon said what in the Mishnah? That when is Tumat kick in? Only after he starts to burn it. Gemara quite away. Welcome, Zevi Rabbi Shimon. I mechutz the machane, my avidle. What did he do with the mechutz the machane? Which means he doesn't learn that tumah kicks in at mechutz the machane. So therefore, that's extra coin to him because we know already where we're burning it from the other parim. So why does he have to tell me mechutz the machane by the parim Sa'id of Yom Kippur? So Gemara said, no, he needs it. Mivele lichdetanya. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Neymar Khan by the Sa'id of Yom Kippur in the Par, Mechutz Machaneh. Neymar, the Halan, the Botai, we have a good Siman on our daf today. It says in this week's Parasha, by the Parasha Para Aduma, Mechutz Machaneh. That what? They have to burn the Para Aduma, Mechutz Machaneh. Ma Khan, just like the Sidipat the Par Sa'id, Chutz the Shalosh Machanot, Afle Halan. Oh, so we're learning Hadush to Parah Aduma. I don't know where you slaughter, where you burn Parah Aduma. It just says Mechutz l'machaneh. Come on, as what? Well. So we have a Gezerah Shava from the Par and Sa'id of Yom Kippurim to Parah Aduma. Ma Par v'sesh Yom Kippurim, Mechutz l'machaneh, we know already means what? Shalosh Machanot. We know that from Par Alem Davar and Par of the Kohen. So therefore, so too, we know Para Aduma also is burned. Shalosh Machanot. The Gemara says, wait. Ma lehalan b'mizracha shirushalayim. Afkan b'mizracha shirushalayim. And just like we know the location of where we slaughtered the Para Aduma, East Jerusalem, b'mizrecha Yerushalayim. So to over here, when it comes to the Paran Sarib Yom Kippurim, the location, it's outside of Yerushalayim. But where? B'mizrecha Yerushalayim, in the east of Yerushalayim. Why? Because we learned earlier, if you remember, that they had to sprinkle the blood of the Para Aduma facing the Hechal. So they would stand in a certain spot where they had vision. Remember, was that we talked about the height of the walls? Right? So you can see right through the Makom of the Hechal. So they went to the east, so they can sprinkle the blood towards the west in order to see the door of the Hechal on the east and going west. So therefore, just like the Parah Aduma is on the east side, so too the Parah is on the east side. V'rabbanan, now the rabbis, Hechas Sarif Lehu, they don't have a source like this. They don't have a pasuk because they use the pasuk already, the Rabbanan, to come and tell me that when does the Betameh Begadim take place. So therefore, they don't have a pasuk to teach me there's a connection between Parah Aduma and Par v'sesh Yom Kippurim. So where do they burn it? The Gemara says, Kedetanya. No, that they know already from a Gezerah Shava, from Par v'sa'ir, Helem Davar Shel Sibur, and Kohen Mashiach. So Gemara comes along and says, Kedetanya, Hechana Nisirafina, where did they burn the Pavisair? Lisfona Shilirushalayim. By the way, shouldn't be shocked. All Hataot are done in the north. So therefore, also when it comes to burning it, they do it Bisfon, Rushalam Bechus, the Shalosh Mahanot, and outside of three Mahanot, like we said, Rabbi Yosef Omer, Abet Hadeshin Nisrafim. Oh, big Hadushia. The Pasuk says that where do you burn the Hataot? If Shefech Hadeshin, which sounds like, if you want to be literal, in the exact spot where they put the deshin from the Mizbeah, that's the spot where they burn the Hataot. Which means, it sounds like, if you want to be really literal, that's the deshin over there. That means, mamash, they have to go to the spot where the deshin is, and that's where they burn the actual korban. Now, that's not Tanakh Kama's opinion. Tanakh Kama just says in the north. It doesn't say anything about Shefik HaDeshin. But the Rabbi Yosef says no, because the Pasuk says, El Mekom Shefik HaDeshin. So he's coming to learn it literally, that it's the location where the deshin was actually deposited there. That's where you are. Soref. Amaraba. Man Tana de Padig Aled Rabbi Yosef. Who's the one, who's the Tanakh Kama basically? Who's the one that argues on Rabbi Yosef that says you don't have to burn it in the place of the deshin? So it says it is Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakovu. The Tanya, we have a braita, El Shefech HaDeshin Yisaref. Shiyehe L'sham Deshin. Tanakh Kama, which is Rabbi Yosef, will say what? That's to be deshin over there. Literally, Mekom Shefech HaDeshin. What does Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov say? Rabbi Yaakov Omer, She Mekomo Meshupach. All it means is it should be on an incline. The place that you burn the parim and the srafim should be in place of Shefech HaDeshin. That just like the place of Shefech HaDeshin is on a slope, so to over here, it doesn't mean you have to actually burn it in the place where the deshin is. It just means it has to be in a on an incline. So you see what? You see, he argues on Tanakh Kama, the Bi Yosef, that you don't have to actually store it on the deshin. It's not telling you deshin. The main point is Shefech. It's telling you the exactly the slope of. Exactly. Where there's an incline. Exactly. It's like Shefech HaDeshin. It's like the place of the pouring of the deshin. Or it could be better. Could be it's the place of the deshin, but there's no deshin there. There doesn't necessarily have to be deshin there. It just has to be in the place of the incline where they put the deshin. The Rabbi Yosef actually says there has to be deshin there on the ground from the Mizbeah. And he's saying, no, as long as you put it in the place of the Shefech, where the deshin usually goes, that's considerable. You don't need actually deshin there. Read Rashi. Rashi says, "The Bilez Yaakov Omer."
The Amar Lash Ma'inan Ela Shiyehe Mekomo Midron Shiyehe Deshno Meshtapeh.
Bidiyuk. So it doesn't have to be the deshin from Rashi. Shefech HaDeshin. All it's saying is a place where the ashes will roll. Nothing to do with deshin of the Mizbeah. The place where the deshin will fall down, meaning Midron. So the Gemara is saying at this point, we have a phenomenal machloket between Tanakh Kama, Rabbi Yosef, and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Let's review the Shitot. Rabbi Yosef is saying, what? Shefech HaDeshin Mashma has to be where the deshin is, the deshin of the Mizbeah. Rabbi Yosef, no, it just means that when you pour it, you're on an incline, that the deshin just falls down. Amale Abaye v'delma b'mkomo meshupach. Which means, maybe the old argument is whether you need it to be Midron or not. But maybe everybody holds it has to be in the same spot. You have no Raya. Maybe even Rabbi Eliezer Yaakov holds it's got to be in the place of the Deshin. It just, Machlok Rovir is, does that have to be in the place of Midron or not? So you have no proof that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is the opinion that says you don't need it to be Bimkom Deshin. It just could be, he's just saying, you need to be b'midron. But maybe b'kom HaDeshin, everybody will hold. So we haven't identified that rabbi that holds, you don't need it to be b'kom HaDeshin. Tanu Rabbanan. It says in the Braita Legabes Serefat, the Pavis Rebim Kippurim, the Soref Yichabes Begadav Rachad Musro B'mayim. And then it says, V'chakir Kibbo L'machane. HaSoref Metameh Begadim. Now we're discussing which guy gets tum'at begadim. So the Gemara is going to say, Davka, the guy that's really involved in the burning of the parim and serafim. Now you can have a lot of auxiliary guys, they're helping out. One guy gets the fire, one guy sets up the wood, one guy lights it. But those guys do not have to make begadim. It's only the actual suref that does the main job. Not the guy that lights the fire. And not the guy that sets up the woods in order to make the pyre. The ezo as suref, what's considered the suref? That's the guy that's Meseyeya Bishat Serefa. That's mamash doing the job at the time of the burning. Yachol after Shenatsu after Betaim Begadim. Now let's say after became ashes, the guy comes down and starts stoking the ashes. Does his Begadim become Tameh once it became ash? Tamudomar Otam. Otam Metameim Begadim Velom Shenatsu Efer. Once it's effort already and the guy starts stoking around, that's not going to be mitameh. Because the pasuk says water, otam. Otam means the actual animals themselves. Otam, mishenasu efer, mitameim, velo, mishenasu efer, mitameim, begadim. Rabbi Elazar ben Tarfon omer, hapar, I'm sorry, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon omer, hapar, mitameh, however, nitach, basar, eno mitameh, begadim. The par is mitameh. But once the meat starts to melt, let's say, or decompose into the, becomes charred in the fire, it's not metameh. So one rabbi said, Efer is not metameh. One rabbi said, Basar nitach, when the basar starts to become decomposed. What's the difference between the shittot? Maya benayhu, ika benayhu, de shavyeh harucha. Well, let's say you singed the par. And therefore what? So the basar became unedible, blackened. So if you hold that the word otam is coming to just say that only otam, the basar, is going to be mitameh, but not if it's nitach. So this is nitach. Once it's singed, it's nitach. You can't eat it anymore, the basar. If you hold efer, it's not efer. And therefore, it will still be mitameh begadim until actually it becomes efer. Rashi. Rashi read ad, no, not that. Rashi the shaviyah harucha.
The haveni tacha basad ve'efer mihu lohavu l'tana kama metamein ad sheyasu efer the otam karina be. The Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon shaviyah harucha lo metame the lo par mikre.
Beautiful. That's to be enough kamina. Okay, rabota. Otam, meaning the par v'sair. Yes, otam. That's right. Talking about the animals. How's that? Matnitin.
Yes. When it comes to bishul akum, can I prove from here? Lo masita ta'ud. In other words, lighting the fire is not considered serefa, but you have to be involved with the. Is there any connection in the sugya?
Not that I'm aware of, Rabotai. Okay. Not that I'm aware of. Bishul akum.
Because the way it's describing serefa is not lighting the fire.
Right. That's a gezerat katuv. That's a gezerat katuv by.
That's the word by suref.
That's a gezerat katuv by korbanot. No. No. Shul akum is drabbanan.
But it says the Israel Surah say Misayaya, which atzere, right? No, but lighting the fire is not enough. You have to be Misayaya.
No, but I'm saying, but in the Torah, there's no Bishul akum.
No, no, I'm saying that what's considered.
Oh, what's considered making the fire. Yeah, maybe. Okay, Rabotai. Matnitin. Les Mishnah Rabotai of the Perek. Now let's go back. Let's review what's going on over here. Because we're in the middle of the service of Yom Kippur. So they sent the guy, Sa'il Azazel. Okay, good luck. So he's on the way there. It seems that the Kohen cannot continue the service until he knows that the Kohen already got to a certain location. And then you can start the next process, which is reading the Sefer Torah and doing the other Korbanot. The question is, how do they communicate to the Kohen back to Beit HaMikdash, that the Ish'iti reached the Midbar, let's say, where he's already, you know, on his way. So they had to have a system. So it says, Amru lo leKohen Gadol. Higiya Sa'ir leMidbar. They told him, Mr. Kohen Gadol, the Sa'ir reached the Midbar, which is already the Mitzvah. So the Gemara says, Uminan ayu yudim shigiya Sa'ir leMidbar. How do they know? Gemara says, Dirkaot. Hayu Osim. So they had lookouts that were standing from Yerushalayim all the way to the cliff. Umenifim basudarim. So basically they had a system of flags. So the guy that was closest to the tzuk when he saw, you know, already the animal was there, so he would wave to the guy that was closer to Jerusalem. And then we wave to the guy closer until they get back to the Beit HaMikdash. And they run to the Beit HaMikdash. They tell him that it was done. So the Yavara comes along and says, V'yod'im shigi asila midbar. Now you don't have to know that it was actually thrown off the cliff. You just need to know v'shalach. Because it's v'shalach. Once it's v'shalach, you can start the service. So what does it mean v'shalach to the midbar? So therefore, once they know it got to the midbar, that is going to be considered enough. Amar. Let's just tap Rashi in the Mishnah. Amru lo kohen gadol.
She'eno rashai lehatchil ba'avoda acheret ad shehigia sa'ir lamidbar. She'ne'emar v'shilach et ha'sa'ir bamidbar. Ve'achar kach ve'etchil b'achatat yatir ha'mizbecha.
Beauty. So therefore he has to know that already was mekayem v'shalach. Continue. Dirka'ot.
Bnei Adam omdim Yerushalayim asuk b'chde she'ir'e ze simano shel ze u'menifinu otam ha'simuchim lamidbar besudarim. וזה הסמוך לו רואה ומעניף גם הוא ורואה חברו הסמוך לירושלים. תרקעות בלעז.
Okay, that's the lashon over there. Very good. Now the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, what do you need to make such a siman for? תרקעות, it's a big tirha. It's the easier way. ולא סימן גדול היה להם. You have an easier siman. מירושלים ועד בית חידודו. From Jerusalem until the beginning of the midbar. Where the cliff is, Shelosha Milin. It's 3 mil. Which means it doesn't take 3 mil to get to the cliff. It takes 3 mil to get to the beginning of the midbar. And that's it. That's considered Vishlah Otto Midbar. You got to the midbar. Now you might have to work, we learned. It may be 7 more mil. According to one opinion, 12 mil. The point is, once you calculate that he's 3 mil on his trip, you're okay. Because you know he got to the midbar. And it's very easy to calculate 3 mil. How? Krishna says, Shlosha milin holchin mil, vechozrin mil, veshohin kede mil. Remember we said Yakirei Yerushalayim? The Yakirei Yerushalayim escorted the Ish Iti from the Beit HaMikdash up to Tchum Kippur, or Tchum Shabbat, which is what? A mil. 2,000 amount is a mil. So therefore, according to not the opinion that made Eruvin, according to the opinion that said it was a mil. So he went. He goes a mil. And now what? They return. So already we know once these Yakirushalayim return, it's already 2 mil. Now wait the shi'ur for 1 mil, which is not so difficult. Wait the shi'ur. And how much does it normally take a guy to walk a mil? Then you know he reached the
what? And they just walked a mil. So they know.
Exactly. So they went. They walked one. They returned one. And wait one. And it's easy to calculate. So what do you need to make sudarim and all this business over here? The biyuda says, v'shrinkin their mil, and it'll be enough. Biyud'in shigiya sa'il amidbar. And that's it. Now, obviously, you could have done, according to the other opinion that will say, that let's say you have to actually wait until he gets to the tzuk. Let's say Tarakama. That sounds like he has to actually get to the tzuk. So that would be 12. So why don't you just wait 12 meal? It's difficult to wait 12, calculate 12. It's easy to calculate 1 meal, but it's more difficult to calculate 12 meal. So that's why he didn't give the option of, hey, just figure it out. How long does it take the meal? And times by 12. That's more complicated. Gemara says, Shnap, the Bishmael Omer, what are you talking about? What do you need to do anything? Didn't we learn this already? Ba'alo siman haya lahem. Lashot shezehorit haya kashur al petcho shel hechal. Remember we put the red string on the opening of the hechal. Ushigiyah sa'il lamidbar haya lashon malbin. It was a big hadush here. It says that when the sa'il reached the midbar, not according to this opinion, they didn't even throw it off. Because according to this opinion, you fulfilled the mitzvah already. This v'shalat ha'seir ela midbar, you did it. And therefore, you know when he got to the midbar. Because the red string is going to already turn white. As the pasuk says, v'shnei emarim yu'atachem kashanim kasheleg yalbinu. And therefore, he says over here, Tanak kama v'rabi Yehuda sorim shikashur lachun shesurim v'bent ha'mikdash rak b'tchilat yimei abayin. Like we learned. That they only did that in the beginning. And then we say they changed it. Then we learned they put it on the rock. So therefore, you can't bring a ayah from this because that was not always a siman over here. Okay, comes the Gemara and says, Amar Abaye, Shma Mina. What do you learn from this Mishnah? We can the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Because what did Rabbi Yehuda say? Just calculate 3 mil. 1 meal they went, 1 meal they come back, calculate another meal, and you know he got to the midbar. Bet hiddudo b'midbar kaima. V'akamashmanan, v'kasama b'yudan, kivan shegi asir l'midbar, nasa mitzvato. Which means, when we say over here, bet hiddudo vidrashi,
הוא ראש המדבר, ושם נתקיים משילח את הסעיר במדבר. והולכים מיל, קדמה לאל, מיקירי ירושלים, מלהבין אותו עד סוכה הראשונה. נעשה מסוותו, ומתחיל לקרוא את הפרשה.
Beauty, which means he doesn't got to throw off the mountain. The view that holds, the mitzvah is to get it to the...
And then he starts reading the
question. Bennett, you got there. Meshilah. What's Meshilah? To the beginning of the midbar. Rabotai, he might have to walk 9 more meal. Doesn't matter. He got to the beginning of the midbar of where the tzuk is going to be far away. You're okay. That's what you learn from Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara says, Kama shvat de kasav Rabbi Yehuda, kevan shegi asayin lemidbar nasid mitzvato. Now, obviously, according to the other opinions, though, the mitzvah actually be when he gets a little closer.
I remember earlier that it turns white when he throws it off the mountain. It puts the head down.
That's different. She taught it. This shita obviously holds not like that. This shita holds and it turns white even when he gets to the mitzvah. Well, that is the mitzvah. That's the Buddha shita.
There's nothing to say here like it says
No, for sure. You're right. But we know, but it's Sikut, he has to be there. Before we start the next service,
we're checking it with the head.
He has to be there, which means we can't start the next service until he actually gets there. So we have Altuk, he's going to get there, but he has to wait until he gets there. Hadran Arach, Shene, Se'ire, Rabotai. We now move on to the seventh perek. And we continue the service of the Kohen Gadol, the Yom HaKippurim Ba, the Kohen Gadol Lekrot. Now the Kohen Gadol comes along. Once they tell him the season of the Midbar already, however, that happens. So the Kohen Gadol comes to the Azara, which they can refer to as now the Ezat Nashim area. And what? He reads the Parashiyot of Yom Kippurin. Im ratza lekrot bebigde boots. Kore, if he wants to remain wearing the bigde lavan that he wore on Yom Kippur till this point, he can continue. Im lav, if he doesn't want to wear them, kore betzdelit lavan meshelo. He's able to wear his own clothes. When he puts on a white garment, and the bigde kunah that belong to him, which he's able to wear. Hazan, a keneset, which is the shamash of the keneset, he was in charge of the Harabayit area. Notel Sefer Torah. He takes a Sefer Torah from the Bet Knesset that was next to the Azara. Venotno the Rosh Knesset. It was a protocol. He gives it to the guy that's called the Rosh. The Rosh Knesset and Segan. And the Rosh hands it over to the Segan, which is the one that's prepared just in case something happens to the Kohen Gadol. Vasegan notno the Kohen Gadol. It's Kavod Sefer Torah. They hand it over in a proper procedure till they get it to the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol. Omed, he stands from where he was sitting. Umekabel, he receives the Sefer Torah from the Segan. Vekore, he reads a few parashiyot, some from the Sefer and some Baal Peh. Number one, Aharemot. That's the parasha of the Sidra of Avodat Yom Kippurim. Ach Be'asor, that's the Pesukim over there that talk about the laws of Yom Kippur in Parashat Emor. Vegolel Sefer Torah, then he rolls it up. At that point he says, Rabotai, Yoter Mima Shekarati Lefnechem Katuv Kan, which means more than I read is written in, which means I'm reading some things that I'm by heart, but don't think it's not written in the Torah. What I'm reading now comes from the Torah also, but it was a tirha to make the Gilila to the Parashah. So he would read it Baal Peh. What would he read? Ube Asor. Shebe Chumash HaPekudim. So they would read the parashah of Asur, which was about Yom Kippur, in parashat Pinehas, which is in what? Chumash HaPekudim, which is Sefer Bamidbar. Kore, we'll see. Kore Alpe. That he does Alpe. Let's just catch up in the Rashi's Rabotai. Balikrot.
את הפרשה, דיאפינה ממילואים דעמים פרק המה, מניין שאף מקרא פרשה מעכב.
Wow, so it's מעכב. The reading of the Sefer Torah and Yom Kippur is ma'akev. That's them. It's one of the
abodas.
Fine, he can. He wants to stay in his white clothes. He has a right. Okay,
that
a Bet Knesset and Harabayit.
Hazan HaKnesset, Shamash. הכנסת. על פיו נחתכים צווחי הכנסת. מי מפתיר, מי פורס השמה, מי עובד.
We would call the shamash, we would call him like the mesadet. He's the guy that invites the mafteer, who gets the mashlim, who's pores, who's hazan, etc.
ואח בעשור שפרשת אמור אל הכהנים ואומר יותר ממה שקריתי בגמרא מפרשת תנא.
The Gemara will explain why it has to be בעל פה. שמה שפקודים?
הספר וידבר שמתחיל במניינן של ישראל.
She's just telling you, why do we call ספר במדבר פקודים, numbers? Because the beginning talks about the census of counting Klai census, that's why the book is called numbers. So we call it Bamidbar, but it's really Sefer Pekudim. Sefer Vaydaber, which is Bamidbar, it's the first word in the first word in Bamidbar is Vaydaber. So we're saying that Sefer that starts off with Vaydaber is actually called Sefer Pekudim because of the census that's at the beginning.
Uparashat Pinchas be'oto Sefer v'shama musafin amurim.
Hazak b'ro kore alpe.
Ta'ava v'shukimara.
Okay, now Rabotai, the Kohen makes 8 berachot after he finishes reading. 8 berachot, no less. Shemona berachot. Ala Torah. Ala Torah, I guess, is Hashem Natana la Torah, Torah Temet. Like we make the beracha haronama, we go up to the Sefer Torah. Ve'ala Avodah. That would be like the beracha we say, Retze. Like we say in the Amidah, Retze Hashem, that Hashem should accept our tefillot, our korbanot. And it ends with She'otecha Nebadecha Bira Nahavod, that we will serve you only exclusively. Ve'ala Hoda'a. Well, that would be like Modim Anachnu Lach, or like we would finish the Beracha HaTov Shemecha Ulkana'eh, the Hodot, also like we have in the Amidah. Ve'al Mechilat Avonot. Hey, Avon, like we say in the Amidah ourselves. Elokeinu Ve'lekodinu Mechol Avonotenu B'yom Kippurim Azeh, etc., etc. Baruch Atah Hashem, Melech Mochel V'Soleya La'avonotenu La'avot Amo Yisrael, etc. And then Ve'al Mekdash B'fnei Atzmo. A special tefillah for the Beit HaMikdash. Baruch Ata Hashem HaBocher BaMikdash. Ve'ad Yisrael b'fnei atzman. We say Baruch Ata Hashem HaBocher Ba'amo Yisrael. And then Ba'Yerushalayim b'fnei atzman. A special beracha for the protection and welfare of Yerushalayim. Ve'al HaKohanim b'fnei atzman. Baruch Shebahar B'Zar'o Shel Aharon. Special beracha for the Kohanim. That's the other barakah that includes all the other nyanim that he prays for, which we'll see what that is. Now let's catch up in the Rashi over here. Ala Torah.
Barakah shel ahareha shel atamanu, ve'al ha'abodah, reseh ve'amecha Yisrael, ve'tirseh ha'abodah b'tbir betecha, she'otecha lebadecha b'yir'ah na'abod. Ve'al ha'odah, modim anachnu lach, ad ha'tov lecha lehodot. על העבודה מברך בשביל העבודה שעבד. והודעה סמוכה לעבודה, דכתיב זובח תודה לך בדנני.
Beautiful. Which means, why do you make הודעה next to עבודה? It's based on the pasuk, זובח תודה. What? זובח תודה. Which means, if you do the זובח, תודה, give thanks. So therefore we do, like our עמידה today. We do רצה, which is עבודה. And then what? הטוב שכל כנראה להודות. זובח תודה. That's the order.
אחר עבודה תודה.
That is hoda.
After avoda toda, toda is
right. Don't think toda maybe is vidui. Toda is
toda means
hoda. Exactly. When it says zoveya toda, doesn't mean you're bringing a korban toda. Zoveya and toda means hoda, verbal hoda.
Amechlat avon v'chol avonotenu b'makipim azeh ad melech mochel v'soleach la'avonotenu v'chuleh.
Al ha-mikdash.
Mitpalel al ha-mikdash v'chotem baruch shebahar ha-mikdash.
Fantastic.
We don't
say any of these. Continue. Aval ha-kohanim.
Mitpalel al ha-kohanim v'chotem baruch shebahar b'zar'o shel aharon v'chen al Yisrael.
We make one beracha. When you go up to the Sefer Torah, you make a shenatan lana Torah tamet, mi shebarach, and you go. There's no 8 berachot. Ah, shat vila, we'll see. Rabotai, haro'eh kohen gadol kishihu kore. Now, you can't be in two places at one time, obviously. We know that rule. So therefore, if you see the kohen reading the parasha of Yom Kippurim in the Izrat Nashim, en ro'eh par v'sa'ir anisrafim. Because that's in Chutz Yerushalayim. So you can't be in the Izrat Nashim and Chutz Yerushalayim at the same time. הרואה פר וסעיר הנשרפים, and if you're there by the פר וסעיר הנשרפים, which is outside ירושלים, אין רואה כהן גדול כשהוא קורא. Now, ולא מפני שאינו רשאי, אלא שהייתה דרך לחוקה, ומלאכת שניהם שווה כאחת. Which is, not that it's אסור, no halakhic issue of seeing both ceremonies. Problem is, technically, logistically, you can't be in the two places because they're far from each other. So therefore, you shouldn't think that it's asur. Make up your mind. You can only go one ceremony. Either you have a ticket for the Sefer Torah, ticket for the Tirumat, for the Sirifah. No. Ela what? I mean, so pashut, but they're just a lot of extra words, Abotai. A lot of extra words, 100%. That's what the Mishnah says. Let's just continue, Abotai, the beginning of the Gemara. The Gemara begins, Mediketani. Bistalit Lavan Mishelo. He said that what? The Kohen Gadol can either wear, continue wearing the big deh, Lavan, or let him bring his own Begadi, Mishelo, white garment. Bistalit Lavan Mishelo. What it says, so you see what? You see, Yom Kippur, they used to wear white. Forget about the white Begadi. Now he's bringing his own white. They wore white suits. All the old time, he used to wear white suits on Yom Kippur. Here, the Kohen. Now he's not wearing big deh lavan shelo. Finished. Now he's bringing a suit from his house. So he has a black suit also. Now the Beit HaMikdash Yom Kippur, the Kohen would come in white garment. Bestedit lavan mishelo. Michlal, what do you see from here? The kriyala avodahi. Oh, you see what? It's not avodah. Because if he's wearing his own garments, so therefore, when is avodah? When you're wearing the big adim. Beketani, however, we learned imnatzal lekrot big de boots kore. But we said if he wants to continue wearing the white garments of the kehuna, he's able to. Now what? Shma mina. What do you see from here? Big de kehuna nitinu dehanot bahem. Big chedush. You see that what? You're allowed to benefit from the big de kehuna even when you're not doing an avodah. It's not an avodah. The fact you see because he's wearing his own garments. But the fact that we see that he could stay with his big de kehuna, even though we just told you it's not an avodah, teaches you what? That it's no problem to be nehene from big de kehuna outside of avodah. So that's a big question. There's no meila. We have a problem. Not that it's not me'akev. It's not me'akev, you see, from the fact that he could wear his regular garments. The fact that we allow him to wear the big, it's not me'ila. That's the point. It's not me'ila. The reading is me'akev, we want to say. The reading is...
If it's not a
right. So the Gemara is going to come along and say, the fact that you see that we let him wear regular garments, the reading must not be an item. Not an avodah. And therefore, could be it's not me'akev, it's not avodah. But the only issue we're discussing now is the Gemara Me'ilah by the Big Day Kehuna. So the Gemara says, you see it's not Me'ilah. The Gemara says, no. Dilma Sha'ani Kiriya. Maybe the Parashah Yom Kippurim, although it might not be considered Avodah that needs Big Day Kehuna, however, Tzorech Avodahi. Tzorech Avodah, because it's talking about the Parashah Yom Kippurim. So therefore, it's okay to wear big dick. When do we say it's me'ila? If the Kohen's wearing his big dick, we're not stop taking a walk with them, doing nothing. But if he's reading, although it might not be considered avodah, but it's not nothing, right? It's considered tzorek avodah. Right, part of the process. Read Rashi. Remember Rashi's on this over here? Rashi, Gemara. Nadu lehanot.
Nidhan leshut lehanot bahen below sha'at avodah.
Right. So the Gemara comes along and says, "The Ibayalan, we have an old question. Big day, kehuna, nitnu lihanot behem, or lo nitnu lihanot behem." Obviously, we're talking about outside of avodah. Is it permissible for the Kohen to keep his clothes on? Is that considered being nehene or not? The Gemara says, "Tashema, we have a Mishnah in Masechet Tamid." Lo ayu yeshenim bebigde kodesh. Kohen would not sleep when he was wearing bigde kodesh. So the Gemara makes a diyuk. Shena udela. Okay, did not sleep. Ah, mechal achle. But it sounds like what? They would eat. Because why did the Mishnah specifically come along and say, lo ayu yeshenim? Implying that what? That other stuff, like eating, is okay with the big day kehuna. which means the reason why sleeping could be maybe he's going to have gas during the sleeping, and therefore it's b'zayon l'bigdei kehuna. But outside of that, when he's up, even though he's not doing service, sounds like it'll be okay. Even though eating is only ma'aseh deshut. So therefore, what do you see from here? There's no isur of me'ilah at the time that the grand's wearing bigdei kehuna, even though he's not doing the service. For the fact that we're allowing him to eat. What? Gemara says, maybe not. Dilma sha'ani achila. The great Musar, this piece of Gemara, Rabotai. Achila is different. De tzorech avodahi. The achila of the Kohen Gadol, or the Kohanim, I should say, is avodah. Why? Dichtiv, k'detanya. Ve'achilu otam asher kupar bahem. Melamed sha'akohanim ochlim. We're not talking about the way where the Kohen's eating Cheerios. The Kohen's eating the Korbanot. He's eating the Korbanot. And what does it say when he eats the Korbanot? The Ba'alim get Kapara. So therefore, even though it might not be Avodah, let's say, but it's something's happening. But you see over here that what? This is a famous Musar. Achila Sorech Avodahi. You don't have to be a Kohen for that. That any time a person eats, and then he turns those calories into learning calories. So therefore, what? I'm only eating in order that I can what? Have strength in order to learn. So therefore, the Gemara is saying a tremendous chiddush. Ad kedei kach that you could wear bigdei kehuna at the time of eating. Because in Yahadut, we look at eating as sorech avodah. Again, in the Kohen's example, it's vechupar bahem. But again, you don't have to be a Kohen to that same concept. All of your actions, even the actions of mundane, like it says in the Pasuk, Bechol Derechecha Da'ehu. V'hu Yasher Orchotecha. Bechol Derechecha Da'ehu means in all of your ways, Derechecha, even if it's Derechecha, meaning your ways, meaning your eating and drinking and sleeping, Da'ehu. What's it, Da'ehu? Literally means know him. But the word Da'ehu really means connect to him. Like it says, Vayeda Adam et ishto. Vayeda means to connect. So therefore, Bechol derachecha, and even all your physical ways, Da'ehu, make a connection between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In any event, the Gemara comes along and says, so you have no Da'ya? So the Gemara then says, Shena hu delo. Ha eluche mehalche. Okay, leave eating. Eating, you're right. Eating is no problem. But it sounds like you can't sleep at the big day kuna. But everything else, including what? Taking a walk. Now what do you tell me now? Iluch is also sort of avodah. No, now you're just taking a walk. And still you're telling me it's okay. So you see what? That it's okay to be nehne from the big day kuna. Afidu shelo b'sha'at avodah. And therefore big day kuna nitnu lihanot. Gemara says no. Bidin hu deluche name lo. That really the Gemara could have said also what? Hiluch. Which means Shina was only a dugma. It was only a mashal. But in a chenami, Shina is not limiting it to Shina. It's also other items that are not avodah as well. Vesefa, it's terichele. But we need it in order to tell us Shina, in order to hint to us what it says at the Sefa. What does it say at the Sefa of that Mishnah? We continue reading. Poshtina umekapelina umanihina tachat rashehem. They would fold the bigdei kehuna and they would put it under their heads over there. Read Rashi, Sefa etzterich.
Shena denakat mishum de ba'el ashma'inan shemutar detenan tachat rashehen.
Right, even though the guy might have hafaha, and if he has hafaha, it's underneath his head, and therefore maybe it's not kavod, that's okay. Which means really you can't sleep with them, you can't walk with them, you can't do anything with them. Eating may be different. But what? I need the Mishnah to tell me that you could put it under your head. You might say, hey, he's connected to the big thing or not. He's lying on there. Hey, we might have hafaha. That's not considered a bizayot so long as he's not wearing them. The Gemara comes along and says, before you get to sleep under your garments, that's a separate issue over there. So Gemara says, Batra Shehem. That's it. Adkan. No, we'll review it tomorrow. Baruch Adonai Le'olam Amen.